So, you know, John talked a little bit about our opening verse here about slaves and really gave us some good insight on being a slave in the Jewish community. The common text that we have that makes the Torah portion common to our Haftarah portion of Jeremiah this morning is the opening, really the opening verses about slavery. And so this is how the sages would connect a Torah portion with Haftarah portion, as I said before. When there was something common, usually some kind of common subject matter, common characters, whatever. And so both of them speak about the slave or the bond servant. This word that we have for slave is eved. What I would like to do this morning is just sort of apply that a little bit more to our lives this morning as far as being a slave. As you know, usually I stay away from the Torah portion. I usually do, but because we were connected with Jeremiah and I wanted to really make application to this that John mentioned as the last point that he said. So we do have this Hebrew word, eved. And it is translated as slave or bond servant or servant, eved. And doulos, as he said, doulos is the Greek. So what I want to do is actually show you from the Torah and the Haftarah portion from Exodus and Jeremiah this morning, then we'll go on. If you buy a Hebrew servant or Hebrew slave or bond servant, he shall serve for 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing. And then in Jeremiah, it opens with, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after King Zechariah had made a covenant with all the people who were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty to them, that every man should set free his male and female slave, a Hebrew man or woman, that no one should keep a Jewish brother in bondage. Now, we have to really understand, as John said, the slaves or the bond slaves or bondsmen, they were not treated as today the world thinks about slaves. And God says this, that you were once slaves in Egypt, and they were the slaves of the world. And so he wanted to make sure that the Jewish people, when there were people for whatever reason came into a bondservant position, that they weren't be made in the same way that God set them free from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And so this is one of the reasons that really God set this up in a more of a humane way and more of a, you know, less of a actual slave-like, as the world would think, a slave-like condition. And so this is important for us to note this, because in 6 years after that, they were set free. What this does is it actually, this is showing us one more example of God's heart and desire and concern for what we are doing today for Shabbat. Because Shabbat is, we must be reminded, Shabbat is, although we think of it as a Jewish thing, it is not a Jewish thing because it's a God thing. So did God want everyone that believes in him and certainly believe in Messiah to worship on Shabbat? Absolutely. And Shabbat by its, as I've said before, by its very, the word Shabbat is a combination of Shavat. It means Shabbat, sometimes it's even called Shavat. And so it's rest and seven. And so as, you know, I've said before, Hebrew words have different meanings and their root will have other meanings of the variations of the word. So what we know by that is, it is the day of rest on the seventh day. And so why is it God? because God rested on the seventh day of creation. He wasn't, there were no Jewish people yet, but he rested on the seventh day of creation. The land was to rest in the seventh year, where they would not plow and do, they would leave the land fallow. They would let it rest. And so we have this of the 6 days or the 6 years, and the seventh day or the seventh year, the seventh unit becomes a unit of rest. And so again, this is just reinforcing the idea that this is another reason why slaves were set free for the seventh year. It was now they would be able to rest from what they did for 6 years. And so this morning, I want to look at the world and the body of Messiah and the concept of slavery and servanthood. And so, as John said, Shaul opens every letter, just about every letter, with telling us that he is a bondservant or a slave of Yeshua. I took Romans 1:1 and Philippians 1:1. So we'll look at it again. It's doulos. He uses the word in Greek, doulos. So Shaul, a bondservant of Messiah Yeshua, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, to the good news of God. And then in Philippians 1:1, he opens with Shaul and Timothy, bondservants of Messiah Yeshua, to all the saints in Messiah Yeshua who are in Philippi with the overseers and the elders. And so he opens this way. And actually all the disciples and apostles, they all consider themselves to be bondservants. They all consider themselves to be, if you will, slaves of God and Messiah. I'm going to look at three examples here. James 1:1, 2 Peter 1:1, and Jude, Yehuda 1:1. Here's how they open their letters. Yaakov, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Messiah Yeshua, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. 2 Peter, Shimon Kepha, a bondservant and apostle of Messiah Yeshua, to those who have obtained the precious faith from which by the righteousness of our God and Savior Messiah Yeshua. Jude 1:1, Jude, a bondservant of Messiah Yeshua and brother of Yaakov, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Messiah Yeshua. And so this is how they would open their letters, because they were bond servants of God and Messiah. And by them opening their letters, by them identifying themselves as being slaves or bond servants or servants to God and Messiah, it showed a humbleness. It showed a humility that they had, that they would open right away. It's not like they wanted people to say, ooh, it's Shaul, look at who he is. He is so high and mighty. Right away, he puts it in place. I am a bondsman. They all said these things. I am a bondsman of Messiah and of the living God. I am a slave. I'm a bonds person. And so it is opposed to people, listen, if you meet anyone and they say to you, hi, my name is Apostle John, Apostle Bob, I'm an apostle. Hey, that's how they introduce themselves to you? There's something wrong there. And your ears should perk up a little bit. I'm a modern day prophet. I'm a modern day apostle. And they give that title right away. You got to watch them a little carefully. Because they're not a bonds person. They're not identifying themselves as a slave to Messiah Yeshua, as a bonds person, as a servant even. But they're saying, I'm a modern day apostle. I'm a prophet or a prophetess. There's something wrong there, people. And I'm telling you, take a little step back and just listen very carefully. Okay? And so, here's the thing. Here's the humbleness and humility. Two of these guys, Yaakov, who the English translation is called James the Just, Yaakov and Yehuda, Jude, they were brothers of Yeshua. And yet, they didn't say, I, the brother of Messiah Yeshua, the blood of brother, the mishpacha of, no, they said, hey, I'm a bondsperson of Messiah Yeshua. They put themselves in that place because it was showing their humility and how humble they were. And so being a servant is what we are called to be, because we have to understand these men, as disciples and apostles, they were men. They were men called to service by Messiah Yeshua. But we are called to service by Messiah Yeshua. And so certainly if we accept Messiah as we accept Messiah Yeshua as our Messiah, then we are called to be a bondsman or bondswoman or bondsperson or a slave to Yeshua. Now, if we say that out to the world right away, hey, what do you mean? You're a slave. Oh, I'm not going to be a slave to anyone. See, people, this is the attitude of the world today. It's unfortunate because that's the world's view of slavery. But God changed that whole thing. See, and so we are called to be slaves to Messiah Yeshua and to the living God. And being a servant is actually a sign of maturity as a believer. So the thing is, it doesn't matter if you've been a believer for 25, 35, 45, 50 years. If you're not serving Messiah, if you're not serving God in some way, it shows a lack of maturity, which means there can be some people that are believers for 6 months and they already have a certain amount of maturity, a level of maturity in their spiritual walk and in their life that others may not have. Servanthood is very important. God wants us all. And I understand sometimes, and people, it's in their mind, I'm too old, I'm too this, I can't walk, I can't do this, I can't do that. You know what? The thing is, it's true. There are many people that have physical handicaps and disabilities and everything, and maybe they don't, you know, maybe they're introverted and can't. The thing is, there is some place in the kingdom here on earth, there's some place for you to serve the Lord. Even if it's just going out there and speaking to family members or friends, you are serving the Lord. You see, so no one has that excuse, I can't because of this, I can't because of that, I can't because I lip around like... I don't want to point fingers this morning, Bruce, but you see, but it, we all are called to serve the Lord, and God gives, he allows us to serve him in whatever way we can serve him. And it is a sign of maturity. Immature believers are, for the most part, self-centered, and they're a little bit selfish sometimes. And so it's all about themselves and what I have to do and my schedule and what I can do and what I can't do. And it's about me and what I would rather do and not do. That shows the immaturity, because we tend to be sort of self-centered and selfish in these ways. We have to always be aware of these things that we don't get into that realm. So yes, there are people that reject what we call being a slave or slavery. However, we're slaves of God, or we are slaves of sin. We are either slaves of God or we are slaves of the world. Really, we should all be, we are all in a way called to be slaves. And so we are all slaves and we are all servants in a spiritual sense. And so we have to, whether we like it or not, we are called to be slaves. So we have a choice. We can be a servant of God, or in some way we will be a servant of the world. Israel were slaves in the world until God took them out of that place. We have been slaves and servants and bondspeople of the world until God took us out of that place through the blood of Messiah Yeshua. As he took them out through the blood of the Passover lamb, he takes us out by the blood of the Passover lamb of God. And so we are out of the bondage of the world, and God calls us to be servants for him and his kingdom. And basically, that's really it. And that's the reason the writers of the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, they declared it, and they were willing to declare it right up front because they understood that, I believe. They understood that, hey, now they are not of the world anymore. As Yeshua said, you know, you can be in the world but not of the world. And so we're here today. We live in the world. We have to deal with the world. We have to deal with people in the world, yes. But we are not to cower and hide under a rock. We are in the world, but we shouldn't be of it. We should know that we are separated from the world and that we are now not slaves of the world, but we are now bondsmen of the living God and of Messiah. And so by Yeshua's death, we have been purchased by his death for a price. You know, the disciples and the apostles knew that slaves, when he was dealing with this issue of slavery, that slaves would be purchased, just as we're purchased for a price, we know. And they were freed after that 6 years, and that they chose, they could voluntarily go back to their masters. Now, you know, and John said, well, maybe they're being fed really good. You know, that would be a reason for me to come back if the food is good. But the thing is, this is the thing. Just imagine this situation. That being a bondsperson, imagine that there would be a chance that they would return to their master. That's how good their master treated them, that they would come back with their wives or their families, with their whole family, with their kids, that they would come back. But you see, we are in that place where, although, you know, we are purchased with a price, and we know that we will. You know, listen, the sages of Judaism, they talk about that we will be 6 years, it says 6,000 years on this earth, and they divide it up in 2,000 years without Torah, 2,000 with Torah, 2,000 age of Messiah, and then the ultimate, the return of Messiah and actually going into the kingdom of God, that seventh millennium. And so that is when we are truly, truly separated from the world, just as the slaves are in that seventh thousand years. And when we enter into the kingdom of God, we are totally separated from anything having to do with the earth. And so it's in the same way as the slaves. And as God set it up that the masters would treat their Jewish slaves in a good way, so good that they might want to come back, That's the way God, even though we serve God, and even though we might consider ourselves to be slaves of God and Messiah, that he treats us so well, that he is so good to us, why would we want to leave? Why would we want to stop serving him? Sure, it might be a bumpy road every once in a while. It might not be easy. It may not be the easiest thing for us. We may have to give up things and do things this and that way that we don't want to do. But when we step back and look at the entire picture, ultimately, he is good to us. And it should be a joy serving him. It should be a joy serving him. And if it's not joyful serving him, really it has to be one of two things. We're serving him improperly. We're serving him the way we think we should serve him. Or our hearts aren't right. And if we're called to serve him and we're doing it and it's not a joy, even through all the garbage going through it, there's not this underlying joy, then something is wrong inside of us. Because he is the master and we should want to continue being a bondservant with him. We do it. And the thing is, God isn't going to twist your arm to make you serve him. You got to make the choice. You make the choice to do it. It's just the way when we come to accept Yeshua for the atonement of our sins, he doesn't twist your arm. God doesn't twist your arm. No one in your family twists your arm. None of your friends twist your arm. You have to make that decision on your own. And so there was no forcing of that slave to return. They made that decision on their own. And we submit ourselves to God without anyone twisting our arm. We submit ourselves to God on our own. We have to make that decision. It's our decision. So if we can get to the point that we allow the Spirit, the Ruach, to flow within us, and we start serving God in some little way each and every day, then we would find out that we would be strengthened, our faith would increase, and there would be more and more joy in our lives if somehow we would just serve him each and every day a little bit. Now, I want to say that, and as I said this about prayer, that's worshiping the Lord. And I want to tell you, if you worship the Lord each and every day, you're doing a little bit of serving to the Lord too. That's serving him because you're acknowledging who he is. And that's all part of the big picture of serving the Lord. And so, yes, we should praise the Lord every day, maybe get some music on and sing. We should maybe go to prayer for a few minutes every day. That is part of serving the Lord. It's all part of that big picture. And so if we're willing to accept the call to serve him with obedience and with humility and with loyalty, it brings us closer to our relationship with him. So all of these things put together, I think it paints a pretty good picture of the positive things about serving the Lord. Just as a slave was dependent on his master, as believers, we should humbly depend on him each and every day. As I said about prayer, it shows us that we are depending on him, and we should be depending on him each and every day. But we should feel confident that he is a loving and caring master to us. And I believe, again, this was a picture that he showed us because he wanted us to understand a little bit more about him and his character, how loving and caring he is. And so Let's just make it a point to do this, to try to serve the day, serve the Lord each and every day. Amen. So, Father, we thank you . We know that you do love us and you care for us. And you are the great provider of all of our needs, not of our wants, but all of our needs. And so it should truly be a joy to serve you, the master of all masters. A joy. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity. If we keep our eyes and ears open and our heart open, we will see opportunities each and every day to serve him just a little bit more and more each day. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for these words this morning. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.